Yeah.
If I want to delete it, I'll delete it.
Yeah, no, I think that strategy is probably pretty good. I noticed too, as I started to diet some females down here this summer, whether that be for contest prep or just general generic fat loss for lifestyle clients. What I noticed was I had a lot of chicks that I metabolically adapted up to like 300, 350, 400 carbs. And they were feeling, you know, they in their check-ins, they'd be like, I'm feeling great. I feel a little fluffy, you know, but like, I'm loving it. And then as soon as we started dieting them, and, you know, just even seeing like 2-3 pounds of scale loss, nothing crazy. Their health biofeedback's getting better. Like, you know, they're not only are they training performance is still going up and the look is improving, but the anecdote they're giving me is that they're feeling better. And I'm like, oh, geez, this is funny. I think I've been missing some of the forest for the trees here. You know, like not every female is going to be able to diet on 250 carbs and, you know, no. it's just not the case. In fact, it's almost no one in my opinion.
Well, I think it's a realistic, I think you got to put it into realistic terms. Like I think going through it now myself with Mark, I think I'm understanding how far you have to push to even get, like, I don't even have abs and I'm eating less than 200 grams of carbs right now on my rest day. Like, and like below 50 grams of fat. Like,
yes, it's,
there's a thing. It's not easy to diet. Like, I feel like a lot of people, because for a lot of people that don't know, me and Dylan actually started this conversation right before we actually start recording. And we were talking about dieting females. And I have this thing of the protocol block is getting in my way. It's like, I have this thing where a lot of my clients are health people and I have them on health. But the thing is, with females, they're so metabolically adapted to everything that this is where I think being aggressive, like you're talking about, we're not going to go into the calorie numbers because I don't want to touch on calories because I think it would just cause panic with a lot of people. But I think this is where having a few high days where you have like a set high day amount and you just throw it in. You're like, if you start to see negative biofeedback, you start to see them metabolically adapting to that deficit, you throw in that high day and it's like, boom. And you don't run the risk. And I find that you won't run the risk of thinking how you thought about it when we started this is you're not going to run the risk of hormonal dysfunction if you keep in those high days where you have those extra carbs to lower that cortisol and to just keep that thyroid where it needs to be. And I think that's how I need to think about it. And I'm like, hey, I should trust myself to dig. If they want to dig and they're feeling good, and they're feeling good on like 200 grams of carbs, well, why not dig a little further? Like the more I keep seeing it. Yeah. The more I keep seeing it, like you look at some people and they're like, yeah, well, I'm dieting even this lifestyle person on like protein veggie for a time. Like they want to push. And so, you know, we'll push for a period of time, but I know how to get them out of it. Right. Cause I think that's the thing that we always have the conversation on is you can diet low. It's usually people never get out, don't know how to get out of it. That really causes the dysfunction out of everything.
Yeah. It's not necessarily the trip there. It's how you handle the destination and coming out of the destination. I think, although yes, like you could do some poor strategies in dieting, but what I started to think about with myself and Anthony and I were talking about this from this perspective of, you know, not being scared or being too scared to push clients too hard, like when it comes to protocols. And this is difficult when you're sort of a hybrid coach that has some functional medicine training, because you see clients that are very much so not in the ability to go into a calorie deficit with good outcome. Mm-hmm. But that can cause, if you have a hybrid roster, like I do, that has competitors and lifestyle people that just want to train hard and then health stuff, well, it can cause you to sort of overlap into some of those other markets of clients that now you're treating them kind of all under one microscope or one basket. And it's not even that you're thinking about it. It ends up being like subconsciously where you're just kind of not making these moves that you otherwise would want to make. And what I started to tell myself is like, no, Dylan, this is why you actually learned the functional side, was so that when you diet someone or put someone through a contest prep, you can help them out of that sort of hole that we might have dug. Right. You know, yeah. So I'm being a little bit more aggressive now, and my culture, the roster has never been better. I've been pushing people a little bit harder. And to be quite frank, I think I was for a time scared to lose clients, just because I'm scared to lose things I care about. I'm very anxietal. So I end up trying to, mitigate a problem down the road that hasn't happened yet. And that can cause you to hold back. And I kind of told my roster, like, I'm going to do really well at pushing you. And some of you guys are going to get uncomfortable. And as we talked about, I definitely have pushed some people over the edge of like quitting, let's say, you know, just it's like, hey, well, you said something very insightful. That was my whole, you know how I think I've told you this. I'm pretty sure I kind of have themes every week. Yeah. I like before I sit down with my check-ins, I'm like, I go through kind of all of them very rapidly. And I look at certain questions and I'm like, oh, there's a theme playing out here. Mm-hmm. And I play on that theme. And the theme this week was like, you know how people like in the fitness industry, everything gets polarized. So it's like, oh, dieting is like really simple. It's just eat less and move more. You know, you just this. And let's assume that this is healthy people. So that advice actually kind of fits.
Yeah.
Okay. Here. However, when you've never dieted, like I started asking some of my female clients, like, okay, show me what you want. What do you want? What do you want to look like? You know, show me some examples. And they show me some examples. And these are females that are under 18% body fat and look good and have some muscular development now. And they're showing me these girls that like have visible abs and like quad lines. And I'm like, well, A, there's probably some PEDs and certain things going into some of these cases that you're not accounting for. But let's just say that it's not even that extreme. Let's just say the person's a little bit leaner. Like, you know what? For a lot of women to have like visible abs, you better make hunger your friend, because it's not going to be easy. Like Anthony said, it's like, if you walk to any supermarket in North America where we live, most people are carrying either a little bit or too much body fat, like a lot too much. Yep. Well, if you went and asked everybody, if there was a real easy way to just make that go away, they would. Like dieting is not easy. And there's a reason that people don't succeed in doing it, because it's not that easy. Especially when we have so much abundance in front of us all the time. You can just derail it at any supermarket, any convenience store, any app. You know, I can get shit delivered right to my house. Everything is about trying to attack you from these sort of marketed perspectives. So, you know, I think the theme was just like, there's dials on things. There's like a dial for the social level, you know, your social life. There's a dial for the physique. There's a dial for sort of family, and there's a dial for career. And if you want that physique dialed all the way up, those other dials are not going to be able to be all the way turned up, in my opinion. You're going to have to prioritize. It's like, no, you can't. I know you want to go with your friends because you think that you just should be able to, but guess what? Your abs ain't coming. You know, it's like and accept that. Like, it's your choice to accept that.
That's what I wrote the other day. So the one story I wrote the other day absolutely took off. Because I keep seeing this. People think we're stupid, right? Do they not think we don't look at stories? Like you see it all the time with people, right? And one thing that you see is food going out and drinks. Now, I'm all for it, right? If you do it like once a month or something, or depending on your goal, right? But if you tell me, if you tell me I want to be in shape for summer, I don't want to see that shit on your stories. Like, I don't care. Like, number one, I'm going to find out anyway, because I'm going to know if your physique's changing or not. There's telltale signs of things, because you know what I know what's supposed to be going in and what's supposed to be coming out. And this is where the pushing harder thing comes in, because a lot of people aren't honest with what's going in and they aren't honest with what's coming out. And then the coach will keep pushing them because they're not living up to what they should be doing. Mark wrote another great one, because I actually tagged him in it, and this is his response to things. I've been increasing my performance. I remember I actually made the excuse. So when we started this fat loss phase, I got really worried about my leverages and everything. And I started freaking out about this, because I was like, oh, my pressing strength is going to go down, because that's what everyone talks about, right? Well, the first 3 weeks, guess what happens? My pressing strength goes to fucking shit. For the first 3 weeks. And I tell myself to fucking buck the fuck up, right? And I'm like, get your shit together, grab your nuts and fucking do something. And ever since then, everything's gone this way. I made every excuse those first 3 weeks to literally be in the shitter for my performance wise. And then after that, I'm having my best training sessions now. I'm stronger 25 pounds down than I was at 200 pounds.
Bro, this is super interesting. So, you know, doing my second exposure right now with Braden, and I just started. And about 3 weeks ago, I got thinking to myself, like when we were talking about starting, I thought, okay, I made really good results in my first exposure under Justin. Why is that? And I really just started to kind of calm. And I have this imagination where I can kind of look at a timeline and zoom out at all these pivotal points and play that back. I have a really photographic kind of imagination. And I thought, okay, what did your gym sessions look like? What were you thinking about on the way to the gym? What was your attitude like looking at the dumbbells? Like all these weird questions, right? I'm like building a picture in my imagination. And I thought, oh, well, that's not what I'm doing right now. That's interesting. You know, like I'm training hard, but like hard, what does that mean? You know, like I just had the word hard in my head. Like I'm training hard. Okay. But, and even progressively hard, but like, what does that mean? You know? And I thought, I came down to the conclusion of, oh, because I was so, everything Justin was doing was so new, like training and the dieting. And then the exposure was obviously new. I believed that I would change. That was literally, I think, the biggest difference, you know? And I was like, holy shit. Okay, yeah. And I noticed, like, because he was very good for me as a coach, like for as a man, he helped me grow into being a man. And it was like, because I was pulling his self-confidence. One thing everyone says about him is he carries himself with a lot of self-confidence. And his criticizers will say, like, it's not even warranted how much confidence he has, but it doesn't matter. He still has it. And to me, I had none. So I was extracting all of that confidence and I just felt like I'm going to fucking change and that's it. And I did. I put on a lot of size, you know, and like, not that I have a great physique, but it's much better than it was. And that kind of gave me that attitude going into this with Braden. So then it was like, oh, and I also had a training partner. So I started to kind of build this map in my mind of all the things I would need. And besides this last week being a little bit under the weather, man, my first like 3 weeks of exposure has just been wild training. And it, as soon as I hit it, it took about the third day of putting this kind of thing together in my mind. And on the third day, it was like, I looked at Kevin and I was like, shit's about to get wild, man. You know, I was like bumping like every exercise, put the plate down. And I just would tell myself like, just do it. Just, that's it. You know, and with good form too, you know, like, cause you know, sometimes you're looking at a load and you're like, oh, it was kind of hard last week and I'm not sure. And I just wiped that all out of my mind. This is like, it was non-negotiable. No, you're bumping that and you're going to do damn good reps and you're going to get as many. And almost every time I did. And as soon as that happened one time, one training session, it sort of changed the momentum, because then the next training session, it was like, well, I did it yesterday. Damn, I'll do it again on back. And I started to do it on everything. And that's how you get into that groove you're talking about before we start recording, like with the Rogers squat, how you're up like a plate and a half over 9 sessions. Well, that's what translates to damn tissue growth, you know? So like,
I wrote this yesterday because this session yesterday was a symbol of what you're talking about. I went in yesterday's training session. Not going to lie, I was on the money with everything. Like the day before I hit my cardio, I felt great. I was like, my arm training went great the day before. I got to bed when I need to get to bed. And I was like, ooh, I was like, I'm going to be good. Also, I'm taking the Somagen now, so this might actually help too, a little bit of recovery. But I was like, yes, I don't have cardio for 2 days. I was like, oh, I'm fucking, I woke up and I knew I was going to kill shit. I was like, that's when it starts. I tell people, if you get all the other aspects right, you're going to be ready to kill shit in the gym. Like you're going to know, like the moment you place your feet, I think a lot of people can't find this, but the moment, I bet you feel the same. If your sleep is right, which yours, I bet is even more important because you probably don't even get enough sleep most nights, but the nights that you do get enough sleep, you probably feel like you're a fucking animal. and it's going to happen. And
it's amazing, bro. When I have a good sleep and, you know, like I'm just done making excuses about it. I've realized that there's points in your life where there's just so many hours. Like I'm at a point in my life where this last year and the next two are going to, that's going to shape my entire, everything I've done from the past until now and for the future. So like, there's just things that need to get to be done. But when I do have a couple days a week, I can usually prioritize like the right stuff to be able to get a good sleep. When I have a good sleep, I wake up, and if it happens to be a training day the next morning, when that happens, it's like I eat my liver in the morning. I get my dihydroberberine in me, get a meal in. An hour later, I'm having some pre-workout. When that hits, I feel like a fucking animal. It feels like I could just rip the steering wheel off the truck and throw it in the bush as I'm driving to the gym. Like I might push the pedal through the floor onto the pavement, you know, and it's really amazing what good sleep can do.
Yeah. And so discussing this session yesterday, I hit plus 8 reps on my adductor, plus 3 reps on my leg extension. Plus like 5 reps,
bump reps too.
Plus 5 reps on my pendulum, plus 10 pounds on the Roger squat. Damn. Plus 2 reps and added weight onto my Atlantis split squat, which is the devil's lettuce. That thing is the absolute worst thing in the world. And then I hit plus 8 on ham curl, and then I hit a plus 1 on block pull. And I posted Maddie's block pull in our group chat today. That's the type of block pull that I'm doing. I did 3 plates and a 5 per side last week for 6. I dropped within that time period. I'm down another 2 pounds going into that session. I got another rep. And for being that late in the session, I take reps on that rather than load for a time being. We're doing more like 6 to 8 reps. So we're keeping it fucking heavy. And it's just... Dude, it's been wild. So that session yesterday just proved to a point. That's why I wrote that thing. I was like, it's you making the excuse. It truly is how you mentally go into the session that determines if you're going to keep muscle tissue or not in a fat loss phase. Because like I said, I can make every excuse in the beginning over why I wasn't going to progress. Obviously, I think my cardio is better now because we have in cardio things, which has definitely probably helped having more oxygen, being able to actually use oxygen more efficiently, be able to breathe a little bit better. My recovery within sessions is definitely getting better. But I was broke today. This is the first day since I knew I didn't have cardio today. I was like, I'm going to wake up. I had a good time, no alarm. And I didn't wake up with an alarm, but I woke up usually at the same time as I usually do. And I was like, fuck it, I'm going to sit in my bed for 20 minutes. I was like, normally I'm up and at it, but I was like, dude, my legs are wrecked. And I was like, I've been searching for this feeling for so long again. And I was like, it's here. I was like, these are the sessions I was having when I started with Mark, when we started back into the gym, where I would go in and just fucking destroy reps by 5 on like all these different sets and would just progress. Maybe not with the best form, but now I'm doing it with good form. And so I find that, hey, if you don't have that switch, that's why I talked about, like, you have to have that switch. And I think you get it over really well. Cause you know why? Cause I'm using your verbiage now. I'm not trying to imitate Dylan, but me and Dylan have been friends now for so long. And this fucking hunting reps thing just gets so stuck in my head now over how he approaches things, because this is how he's taught me to really kind of build the athletes I'm trying to build. And it's like, if you tell someone to hunt down like 3 reps or hunt down set by set to improve, it's fucking wild what they can do. Like challenging these people, like it's you unlocking that switch within them. That's what you're doing. You're giving them that reason to flip that switch. A lot of people are afraid to flip that switch, but it sometimes needs to be forced. And I think that's what really happens. And it's a skill, right? To find that switch and to keep it on, especially as you get deeper into a fat loss phase, it's a skill. to be able to do. And a lot of people aren't willing. And a lot of people that do fat loss phases unsuccessfully keep that switch on in the beginning. But as days get rougher and energy gets lower and you start to feel more hungry and way less energized, people stop taking care of their sleep. They stop taking care of all these things that revolve around flipping that switch. Because I can tell you there's a difference between my training sessions now if I miss even 30 minutes of sleep and I get that 30 minutes. And it's just determined by how much am I progressing by one rep or am I progressing by 5 pounds and one rep? Because that's the difference.
Yeah. And I think that's a very good point about like how, when you nail your stress management techniques, sort of your training and everything else just sort of follows. Your nutrition's easier to follow because you're in a better, like your hunger signaling is all better. You're not tired and making an emotional decision, you know? So it's just so important. And people, I think, make it a little bit too benign. You know, what's interesting. I also, I find this interesting. I think oftentimes people that are the most concerned with results, so like questioning like, oh geez, I feel bad that there's no results. And you know, like how come there's no results so quickly? I think a lot of times those people are the ones that are just carrying a lot of guilt because they know that they're not doing anything actually really 100%. And I think that's hard to live with, right? So then you have to kind of find these other things to pick out why you don't have what you want. And I'm not saying that it's all the time, because as you know, like I always like to bring up the point about like health cases, you know, because you and I both deal with health cases and sometimes they're doing the perceivably right things and shit ain't going well.
It just takes a while. It just takes a while for those.
Yeah. People. And there's, you know, there's a long time, but I'm more so talking about the people that are very worried about like the physical results very, very quickly.
Yep.
I think a lot of times it's because they're not, it's much easier to just focus on kind of your daily and then weekly and then monthly habits instead of trying to think about 3 or 4 months down the road about how you're going to dream up to get to this point, like what you're looking like. It's like, no, just nail the procedures that get you there. And then you'll look back and just be there, you know? And that's why I think the hunting reps and all of that stuff, I use that verbiage kind of important. People say like philosophy, it's not very useful, right? And it's like, well, it's not useful if you don't know what to do with it. But philosophy to me is, why would we learn about philosophy? Well, it's basically the ancient wisdom of human value. Oh, well, what is value? And then you look into the value system literature and it's like, oh, the value system is how you orient yourself in the world. It's like what doors are opening for you is based on what your values are and what you're aiming at, right? And your value system determines your aim. And we know that what we aim at as human beings is usually what we end up with, or something much closer to it than what we have. Well, that's why it's important. And people start to hear this type of language and they're like, geez, it just gets them to imagine, because humans are incredibly imaginative creatures. We're the only ones out of the entire animal kingdom that can make a perception of something, create it in our minds, and then create the steps to actually physically manifest it to happen in the world.
Yep.
You know, it's like we see this with professional athletes, we see it with entrepreneurs, physical transformations, mental transformations, almost anything human beings can apply this to. So it's incredibly tact, I think, to get people imagining like, you know, what the hell would happen if I just stopped being at like 40% and now it's at like 90, you know, for the things that I'm saying are important to me that I'm not actually putting the effort into that I tell myself I am. And then it's hard to live with yourself, you know. It's like you're always breaking promises to yourself, you're lying to yourself. It's much easier to just set a realistic target, nail it, and then keep on progressing that, even if it's mildly low and childish.
Yeah. And I think also setting perception is very key in this, and you deal with it because I would say you're close to mastering it, and this is something that you are really good at, is the psychology game, right? And it's giving someone an accurate perception of where that effort level is at this given moment in time. Because a lot of people think that they're doing everything well. Like I've touched on this multiple times on the podcast, so I won't irritate people's ears with this, but if you're new, you're going to hear it anyway. But it's people just think checking that box is enough. Like, it's like, that's what comes down to the difference between you and I getting results and other people getting results, is that they think, because we have to try hard. Like, honestly, we have to check off the boxes and do go beyond checking off the boxes if we really want to see physical results, like, for ourselves. Like, it's just a thing. I know my physique at this point, it's going to be a thing of, I'm probably not going to have the greatest physique in the world, so I'm going to have to try extra fucking hard. This is where I train. This is where I believe my effort over time is the reason why I've changed so much. A lot of people can't keep that effort over the time span that I've kept. And it's a thing of, people don't do that. And look what happened when, and I can give myself for example, because I could perfectly explain this over why I looked fat as fuck at 200 pounds. I got lazy with my steps and I got lazy with my sleep. Those were the two things that I got lazy with near the end. Did I get my steps? Absolutely. But was I actually getting my steps? Not really. I was kind of just, I was doing like 2 walks a day instead of like 4 that I'm doing now. Like, I like to do walks after every meal now. And it's like, was I sleeping? Was I getting my sleep on time? No, I was fucking eating and staying up late and staying on my phone. Right? There were these things that I was doing that I thought I was doing right. And I was wondering why I was getting softer and softer during things. And I'm like, okay, now I know what I need to change though for next time I grow. Cause it's even more important. I can't explain what I'm doing because I need to keep my job and everything, but the next time I grow, it's going to be pretty gnarly, because I think we are able to take the data, even though there's going to be things that are changing physiologically, I'm going to be able to take the data of my habits that I kept and keep that effort as high as possible during that. And I'm going to see way better growth. So I think a lot of things is just, it's effort over time. And I think a lot of people start to get lazy with the lifestyle things and get lazy with those little things like step counts and things like that. Like, people get lazy with that stuff. And I think that's really where it starts to change for a lot of people. Like, the people that really change, you could tell if they're really meaning their 10,000 steps a day or their 8,000 steps a day with effort. Like, if they make a plan, like, hey, after every meal, I'm going to take a walk so I hit my steps. It's way better than being, hey, I'm going to get 2,000 step walks throughout the day. Like, there's way more intent behind it, because we've explained why you should be getting walks after meals, right? And we've explained those things and why it's beneficial, how you should be doing these things, etc. So I think giving a client mentally, and like I said, tying this back to all around, is you have a really good job of telling someone where they're at and being able to get that out, right? It's that key. That's the part that we play, is we know it's in there, but how far are we going to have to dig into you to really get that out? Because there's going to come a point in time, I don't know about you, but sometimes I do get aggressive with my clients. Like, there's sometimes I'm so passionate about someone's success and it's been like 4 or 5 months. I'm like, I will go off during a check-in. I won't even care for how they look, what they do. If I continually see they're stalling and I know why they're stalling and they say like, hey, I had this thing off plan or things like that. It's not a just try harder thing. I know you wrote that post about it yesterday. It's not just a try harder, but there are some people that do just need to try harder, and it's, and I like to quote unquote, ripping them a new asshole can actually get that out for certain people. It's finding how to get that out for each person that's purely different. That's a different strategy. So I'm fairly aggressive with those things eventually after a certain amount of times to tell them, hey, this is where you're at. This is where you could be if you gave me the effort that I needed. And yeah, it's, I can explain that to them.
It's, well, thank you for the compliment. I've practiced a lot, I guess, and I've thought about it very in depth for a very long time. But, you know, I want to touch on a couple things you said, because you made a couple of really good points about, like, not just checking the box. You remember at the beginning when we were talking about not checking the box? I actually changed the way that I do my group chat training videos now a little bit for that very reason, because I realized that, like, oh, I require X amount of videos per week. People are just like getting them done. they're not like looking at it and going like, okay, I'm going to send them this because I'm not feeling it in my quads the way that I want to. And I'm going to take what he says and I'm going to write it down, or I'm going to star the message, or I'm going to do all these various things, screenshot it, whatever you could do. And I'm going to put this in my logbook ahead of time so that I can go and deliver on this.
Yes.
Because that's what I do when I send my videos to Brayden. I realized it was just like, oh, this guy with a beard and weird glasses is going to be asking for these videos. So I here they are. Like, I got someone to take them, or I just prop my phone up at any old angle and, you know, sent them off. And now I get a star because I sent this stuff off. And then I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, I ripped the whole roster. And then I said, no, we're not doing that anymore. And I'm doing it a little differently, where I'm going to have certain movement patterns each week so that there's only one thing that's being seen. And I have enough clients that this really does this. So I made even a graphic. So I'm like, here's the graphic for the week. I want to see all presses, overhead, cable, machine, incline, flat. I don't care. Now it's like, we're going to be learning about humeral adduction, abduction. We're going to be learning about a very specific thing. And the whole thing every week is kind of going to be there. And then your one or two videos that you're required to send, it's like, you're going to have to probably do two presses in a week, or it most, not always, but sometimes.
Yep.
Well, all of a sudden you did it on Monday, send your video. And I tell you, don't screw that up and carry that over into your incline press. This is your flat, but carry what I'm telling you over into low incline or machine incline or whatever the other press may be. And you have to come back and show me that you paid attention and took that seriously. Because if you make the same mistake that I just told you not to do, and you didn't acknowledge that you at least heard that, it's going to make me not happy, you know? So yeah, I'm pretty tough with my clients, actually, you know, but I have a good way of being fair.
Yeah.
My grandpa used to have this saying, I'm firm, but fair, you know? And I thought that was pretty good. You know, it's like, I try to meet them with reality. I'm very logical. So I'm not emotional about me getting upset, but sometimes people need to hear, like, you know, I have a competitor who I think has a lot of potential, natural competitor, female, great physique, great build, kind of like, you know, similar to like Maddie's build a little bit, you know, like really good leg shape, pretty strong, but she's not quite as experienced. I would say she's about where Maddie is when you started with her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she wants to compete. And, you know, it's like, it was kind of what you were saying. Like every week it was like, well, I kind of messed this up and this. And so I had to tell her, like, man, you know, we're kind of in like a pre, like prep mode type thing, you know, like this is not time to screw around. Like, it's not like just do whatever you want time. And if you want to do that, you do it somewhere else, you know, like no way are we doing that game. And you're right. It's exactly what she needed. She was like, I needed that. And then this is the interesting part. I asked her, I said, why do you think that was happening? Because it wasn't just dead. It's not like, okay, we did the work harder stuff. And then, okay, I will. And she actually was proving it, you know, like for a few weeks. And I'm like, okay, now's a good time. Why do you think that was happening? Well, I'm not sure. Think about it. We'll talk about it next check-in. You have a whole week to think on that, right? I literally put it in their protocol sheet because I have like three sections of changes that I make. Mm-hmm. And one of them is like some of the stuff I'd like to see them do better. Well, I want you to think about this thing, and on your next check-in, I want to talk about it. And then it came down to like a self-sabotage, a fear. Well, why is that? All of a sudden we find out she doesn't have much support inside of her home life, like with what she's doing. So she carries guilt around. All of a sudden you start really figuring out why someone, and I've talked about this before, when someone's not getting to their fitness goals, it's usually because something else in the hierarchy of their life is out of sync.
Yep.
And it's screwing it up. And by right, they're not like prioritizing their fitness over their job, let's say. So fair enough, you need to eat and live and have money. But you also have to figure out the thing that's ailing you. You can't just kind of leave it broken and then keep your expectation. You know, so we got to talk about it. And I was like, look, you can lean on me for these certain things. I think you could lean on the team more. I think we have a great, great community of people, and I think you don't utilize it. So we came up with some solutions. And then she's now creating that momentum. And it's like literally two or three weeks of this, all of a sudden check-ins, boom, change, boom, change, boom, change. Every week, her midsection just going in and in and in. All of a sudden I can start to see her core lines are coming in. It's like, see, you're on it now. like physique changing takes being on it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's something that I want to incorporate more is, you know, I'm trying to get my group involved more and more with each other and continually building up that atmosphere so they push themselves, so they each push each other. Mm-hmm. It's going to be it. But I see it more like it's cool to see like my client Nina goes and she's from the same area as Maddie. So sometimes you see Maddie like in her videos and like they'll be like, and they like have a nickname because she's always in there. So they call her like the dungeon. They call her like the gym dungeon troll because Maddie's always in the gym. She's never not in the gym. Sorry for busting your chaps over here, Maddie. But I mean, it is true. You keep telling me you're always in the gym. So, but I think that's a key thing, right? Is that people don't realize what's going on outside of the gym, or they don't realize why they're like, why am I not progressing? There's something off, right? Bodybuilding and fitness is easy if you make your environment easy. That's what I taught. Like, for example, I had a meh physique kind of before I moved down to Virginia. But it was really cool because Mark and I started seeing, we got down here and it was like change after change after change after change. I was putting on more muscle. I looked better. My waist started to come in. Like, I could send what my waist looked like to you before I left last year around this time and what it looks like now. And it's significantly in. Obviously, I'm in two different phases, but weight-wise, I'm actually very similar to where I was. But it's just like, man, the environment aspect of when I moved, the complete refreshing feeling of moving and being in a gym that I've been looking forward to. I had this gym planned out since 2019. I was like, I know I'm going to be living down here. I know I'm going to move. It's just when, and I'm going to join this gym and I'm going to fucking progress at this gym. Right. And I put that in my head. And I think a lot of people continually do things that they don't understand that they're doing. And they don't understand what others in their lives are doing or in their environment because it's normal. Right. And that's where I think diving down deeper into someone's life really comes. And I really might implement that question to people. Are you where you want to be? Like, if not, I might implement that on my check-in sheet like soon. Like, if are you where you want to be? If not, why do you think that is?
Yeah, and 100%. You just have to ask it's a
question. And see if it's a me thing or it's a them thing. Because most likely it's not a me thing. Because the rest of the time, I'll blame myself. Hey, we talked about this already. If I'm not pushing you hard enough, I'm going to push you harder. I obviously, talking with Dylan before we even hopped on, looking at caloric-wise over where I want to be for a female and fat loss, I was like, maybe I should be pushing these things a little harder. Maybe I should be as little bit of what people would call quote-unquote reckless with things, but really create change that you know how to get out of. And really make it sustainable. I think that's a lot of things that, like, I'm just afraid of that, right? Obviously, we got to live in fear, but isn't that part of what we always talk about, right? Is myself as a coach has to go into that unknown of pushing someone that far.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and we evolved to have cyclical calories. Like, women and men evolved alongside being starved for very long periods of time in a lot of winters and a lot of places. So I actually think it's the duration of time, because I think in the short term, being like, you know, 4 months, really, like a brutal winter is 2 to 4 months, mm-hmm. you know, or like a winter can be longer than that in some places, but I'm saying the brutality of the winter is usually 2 to 4 from the most in the extreme places where like a winter might happen.
Yeah.
And you think about that and it's like, that actually makes a lot of sense, because when we see really negative adaptations in females from over dieting and all the things that can cause, whether that be autoimmune pop-up issues, whether that be, you know, thyroid issues, whether that be metabolic resistance, any of these kind of paths that can take you down. It's like you find out the common denominator is this person's been trying to diet for like 4 years, 3 years, 2 years. And you're like, oh. So I think there's never enough context, right? So like something becomes clicky, like things get clicky on the internet, I say, you know, as like an old person. It's like it became like clicky to talk about how women basically shouldn't eat under 2000 calories. Like every kind of influencer type health person is, and I like get that, you know, like I talk about that with my clients. It's like, well, no, like most of the time, sure. You know, I think that we should be able to build you up metabolically to at least that. I think most people could eat almost that, and not everyone, but most people. And, you know, with some hard weight training and some time to adapt and build a little bit of muscle mass, granted. But when you want to like pull body fat off, sometimes you have to get a little bit more aggressive, you know, like it's, and I'm not saying no crazy numbers, like really, really three digit numbers, nothing like this, but like, you know, everyone's a little bit different, you know, and you have to prioritize nutrition around your training. You have to, all of that matters for preserving health too. And it's not talked about in the conversation. It's like, here's a total calorie and that's the magic number. Yeah, but what if I'm supporting 60% of the nutrient load, which is higher on training days, around the stress that is training? And now I have a lot of my driven nutrient support around there. With my some of my clients, it's like I have some organ meat support around there, mm-hmm. good supplementation around there, little carbohydrates in the training to keep stress and cortisol as low as possible while creating a lot of change in the training demands. But what is that the same as this calories, but just doing whatever you want and training at a 2-hour high volume nonsense session? So that's, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, well, there's not a lot of context. Yeah. There's not a lot. Cause honestly, right now with some of the people, I've been doing more of a balanced type plan. I haven't even been pushing for a lot of people. You know, they get so stuck on that nutrient timing thing. And I think this is something that I'm recognizing, right? I understand the benefit of it because I've ran it with mainly everyone in some period of time. But for some women, sometimes they do better just having 5 meals a day spread evenly.
No, and, I 100% agree.
And an intra-work, and the only thing I push, I do like four, I do 4 meals evenly, and I'll do an intra. Because you know what? That still pushes the carb load over to the over into the peri-workout window without you even really kind of recognizing it, because you're so focused on these balanced meals of like 12 grams of fat in between, like in your pre and post meal. It's like, it's overall, you kind of got to look at what works for someone. And for someone who's always, if you're of a high stress individual, you're much better off just doing a balanced meal and then an intra workout to bring down that cortisol rather than always push nutrient timing. And I think this is something that I'm starting to see now. And it's like, hey, even without the nutrient timing, with balanced meals, they're still having 80s blood glucose. Like it's an extra little bit as you get deeper into the caloric deficit that obviously you have to start transitioning more carbs to those peri-workout windows to save that stress and save the performance of it. But until you start to see performance really kind of down, there's no reason to really change anything. So this is something that I've been changing recently with myself, is that view of the nutrient timing. Obviously in the off season, I think it's perfect. And I also think during a prep, if you're in a prep, perfect. But if you're in a general fat loss phase for some individuals, especially females, I think honestly keeping it balanced throughout the day is going to aid you either way. You could do it either way. That's why I say there's no real context and there's no real one way to do things, right? Because we can always push if we really feel like it. And I think it's going to give you that extra little edge. Hey, let's just take some carbs away from those meal one and meal five. And let's put those into your meals 2 and 3 or meals 2 and 4 before and after your post. And it's like, voila, it's like nutrient timing.
Pretty interesting. We're actually in sync with this one. I've been thinking about this a lot. And
okay, cool.
I had some people that as I started to diet them, you know, it's so weird the way my whole roster is like one person. not really. But like it's one big
Power Ranger.
literally. It's so funny sometimes, right? Because I got like a big influx of clients. I was just talking about this with Anthony before, all at one time. And half of them had half of a big number is still a decent number, you know? So it's like, had these health issues, and I've been doing this again for about a year, really, like full-time coaching. And we're at the point now where these people are all of a sudden moving into a fat loss phase that they actually signed up with me for like a year ago, probably, but I wouldn't let them do it. And I made them get healthy, and now it's time to do it.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is I'm learning a lot, and that's why I'm on my shit this year. It's like, I've learned way faster because of this unique position that put me in. So like throwing like 35 people into a fat loss phase all one time, you can get a lot of data out of that if you're paying attention. And I started paying attention to who responded when you pulled the least amount, you know, like things like that. It's like, oh, this person only needed a 10% drop, and they started to, you know, and this other person needed 40. And I started to kind of categorize this the way that I do with things when I'm looking for patterns. And I realized what I'm about to say is kind of controversial, so we'll see. But I think nutrient timing works way better for people that have really good genetics, just like everything else works way better for them.
Yes.
And then
yes.
I've thought about this a lot. So I have a really defensible position around this. All of the clients who like morph are responding really well in their biofeedback to the nutrient timing. And they're usually people that are eating a little bit more than the average person whilst losing fat, and they usually already have a pretty good build, let's say. And some of the other people are more like what you said, where they're like, my digestion is too rough, even if they're not on super high calories. You know, it's like getting all that food in around the training makes training bad. They can't digest it, they can't assimilate it, mm-hmm. and their digestion struggles the rest of the day. And then their body image might struggle, and it becomes a negative experience. So I started to make those a little bit more even, let's say. And I do always have an intro almost all the time with all clients.
Yep. But
maybe a tiny bit heavier around the workout window, but not like a crazy 80, 20, or like 70.
Yeah, no, I won't go like the 70. I'll go like 50 or something.
Exactly. That's kind of what I've been doing. And with some people. And then you realize that those are the people that don't change as fast. And I'm like, oh, I think that's why, like, I personally see like minorly better results with heavy nutrient timing than just training fasted. And my genetics are not that good. So I'm like, perceivably. So it's like, that's an interesting hypothesis, which kind of makes sense. You know, like the hyper responders, you give them that because a lot of these guys that are eating so much food, you know, it's like, well, yeah, now they're able to train hard and their digestion just works. Like if you get a guy that can eat 125 or 150 carbs and feel great going into the gym,
oh,
you're going to perform like madness. And, you know, but like I will throw up. I've tried everything to be able to eat that much. You know, I just,
yeah.
Me and Braden had to move mine back down. He had me at 125 and I tried for like 2 months, bro. Pushed myself, you know, just like betaine, digestive supplements, eating raw ginger with the meal, whatever I could do, literally everything. And I'm very resourceful. And then one day I was like, bro, do you think that we could try? I actually told him in a protocol break way. I said, look, a couple of times I stayed up a little too late. I missed half an hour. I slept in for a half an hour because of it. And there was no way that I could digest 125 grams of carbs before my workout in like 40 minutes. It's no way. But I said, I kind of ended up around 75 a few times thinking like, well, I'll try to get as much as I can. And I actually felt great. And I like PR'd those days. Literally, I felt a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So then we tried it and that's where he moved me to. And my performance started to actually go up. See, like person, that's why everyone's so individual.
You find what works for that individual. Hey, if they need those 10, 12 grams of fat and like, just you keep everything like you keep, like for Maddie, for example, I'm running everything balanced. Yep. 4 meals balanced with an intra. That's what I'm doing for her. I'm like, okay, let's see how this goes. Well, I know where she thrives, right? She thrives in strength training. And so her lifts just keep going like this. And I'm like, well, does it really give me a reason to actually push the nutrient timing? obviously I could a little bit. I could take, obviously I can bring that percentage up in terms of carbs around the window, which I might eventually do, right? But it's like, to really get these results, if I'm still seeing, if she's still seeing strength things, is it really worth the 1-2% like extra that I could get out of her? Maybe. Honestly, maybe. Am I diminishing her things by 1-2%? Maybe. But it's like, hey, for someone like myself, I'm going to take yesterday because that was a high carb day yesterday. I did 320 grams of white rice and I did 100 grams banana. So that's probably around 120.
Yeah, like 150 carbs, something like that.
Yeah. I did that an hour before training. Legs. So imagine. See, I could do that and feel great. And look at my performance yesterday. Clearly it's doing well, right? So it all depends upon how you perform. And what it also depends on your training too. This is where I'm learning the training systems and what the person needs. Because if she's doing strength training and she's staying in those low reps, there's no reason to absolutely push nutrient timing. Whereas if I have her in those if I have her in those 6-9 rep sets and then do a back off set of 10 to 15, hey, you're pushing that load for a lot of reps there. And it's like, hey, if the highest rep that you're getting is 10, it's like, well, we may be able to use, different systems. So yeah, it's like,
100%. That's how you learn. One thing I'm real pumped about hearing is you're starting to create a lot of independent thought. I can just tell you're starting to like play with things. You've collected enough tools now where you're just like playing. And I think that that's really fun. You know, like I think that it's very fun to be able to go and play with all these things and sort of see what the outcomes are. You know, you can take a certain type of training phase and go like, okay, I'm going to pair this with this carbohydrate sort of timing or not for this reason, like you just described. And it's kind of fun to see those play out. I do program. I probably have everyone on some sort, almost everyone on some sort of slight nutrient timing to the degree.
Yep. Like I have like some sort of that.
Is dependent on the person. But I think that, a lot of my training is I program in attention phase. I do program a lot of 10, 20 rep sets. So, you know, but we run those phases for anywhere from literally 8 to 30 weeks. You know, everyone's so different on how they respond to that too. You know, everyone can respond a little bit different to training. And that's why it's fun to learn some different types of programming and ways of doing things. I find that it really helps figure out what the person needs. It's almost like a diagnostics tool. You're having more diagnostic tools because if you're putting people under different stimuluses, then you see how they respond. You know, like if you put me, I'll use me as an example. If Braden put me into a systemic phase of training, we would find out that I'm probably not in very good shape at all. You know, like at all.
Yeah.
And it would be like, oh boy. Well, imagine how much more muscle you could put on if you could actually like sled drag this thing up and down this thing 3 or 4 times instead of just a quarter of the way and your hamstrings burn off. You know, it's like, maybe, I don't know, but maybe. And then you try it and guess what? Usually if you have some logic and a reason, it usually ends up being that way.
Yeah.
If you take a person that you notice, like, where's that explosion? Where's that drive? You know, like when they're in the bottom of a press, like I'll tell someone like, press those dumbbells to the ceiling. And they're in a tension phase trying to follow tempo. And you can just tell that they're not getting it, you know? So it's like, oh, when the next programming phase comes around, it's like, oh, maybe you need a neurological phase because I can program the tempo and such, which you're going to have to explode. And you're not going to be worrying about the concentrics and how slow you're moving. I just want you pressing this with power through the right ranges of motion. Well, when you get back into a tension phase that is more productive for building tissue, let's say. Yeah, but they're doing it better. You know, like people forget about the skill of this. You know, like I've worked out with a lot of people where I'll look at, we'll do leg extensions. Great example. We'll be doing leg extensions. And obviously how you look is not about only strength, but I'll be doing leg extensions and I'll put 120 pounds on a machine. I do 10 reps till brutal failure. And then I'll be training with one of my clients that's like a girl whose quads are like a quarter of the size of mine. And they get in there and do like the same reps. And even though they look like not that bad, there's a skill to learning how to like get on the muscle and stay on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can see it. Like I trained Brandy today and you always like watching those sessions, you know, our back off set. She's so lean right now that when she's wearing even like tight pants, like tights, I guess you call them, like Lululemon type of pants, you can see the fibers of her quads like firing.
Oh, I was just about to say this. I was just about to say this because I get this now. I found my connection so well and I'm starting to get leaner that I could see in like my outer quad, like my sweep. I'm like, I move the weight and I could see my muscle fiber starting to like fire. And I'm like, I'm like, I must be doing something right. And I'm like,
by the way, it takes a long time. Like, you know, it took me like 8 years of training to learn how to do this, like to where you learn it, but you kind of keep getting better and better at it over time to where you find this peak where you're like, holy shit. Like on certain muscles and my weaker muscle groups, both physically and aesthetically, not so much. You know, like I have a hard time with my chest because my elbow is so banged up that I mostly, when I press, what I feel is my elbow hurting. You know, I don't, it's like, even if I'm getting a chest contraction, the elbow pain is outweighing the chest contraction versus my stronger muscle groups, like my back or my, you know, my quads. It's like, I can literally peel the weights up with my quads. I can see the fibers moving and that's all that's on it the entire time. And when you learn to put that stimulus on a muscle and then you learn how to feed around a training session, that's where people can really morph, you know, like you said, if you're like a client like Maddie and she's more in like a neurological, you know, ish phase, doing a little bit more strength work, even it's like, she doesn't need that nutrient timing support. So everything's so individual. You know, yep. That's the point I'm trying to make is I think I get frustrated with the industry because I'm such a deep thinker. And I find that the industry is filled with puddle deep thoughts, you know, where like you can see a reflection kind of on the outside and it seems good. And then you dip your finger in it and you're like, there's nothing to this. It's all, there's no depth to this.
Just filled with absolutes.
Yeah.
Find that she's just filled with absolutes and it's not, and that I was, and it's because of my own observation of myself and the way I programmed, because I was programming everyone kind of around the same with pushing the heavy nutrient timing and things like that, thinking that this was going to change because it was such a, I had some really genetically good people, right? So yeah. It was, those things were working for those genetically good people. But now I'm starting to get all these different types of people and it's like, you have to learn how to adapt it and you can't have an absolute when it comes down to this. So some people I still push intra heavy, some people I don't. And it's like, when you find out that nothing is an absolute, anything could change week to week, is when you really start to realize that you can change someone in like that. Cause I changed someone's nutrition to try to find out what fits them like 4 times in 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm like, obviously it's not enough time. That's not purely enough time in my opinion. Like I did it, but it's not purely enough time to gather data to try to find something that works. But I'm like, something will click each week. Their strength will go up. We're going to start to see biofeedback go in the right direction. And I'm going to stay with that for as long as possible. And then I said this yesterday and you actually tagged, cause I tagged you in it. I was like, then I could pull a different rabbit out of the hat and implement it and boom, something's going to happen. It's like learning the client. Once you learn that person and you figure them out, then it's just pulling different rabbits out when you need to. And it's like, ooh, let's play. You're going to start playing check. You're going to start playing chess rather than playing checkers. It's going to be all these little intricate moves that just add up. And it's like fun.
Yeah, it is fun. And you know, I can always tell there's some, anytime I've had a, you know, sometimes you post some client results and people in the body, like the hardcore edge of the bodybuilding industry, looking at a lifestyle client result in like a 6 month time frame or something, or 8 month time frame, they'll, you know, I've had a few comments where it's like, well, that's not even that good. It's like, and they're thinking of it from their tower of like a bodybuilding prep with PED enhancements and years of training and muscle mass and usually males. I'm like, okay, but you've just revealed your inexperience around human physiology, like education, but also your real world experience with working with the general population, including competitors, like a regional competitor versus, you know, like this, everybody is very different in how they respond. And most people are, most people, like we've talked about this before, these are the Instagram transformations. Whereas you get someone in 3 months, they just look completely different. And, you know, they just sort of.
Oh, no.